I want to welcome you to the Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. And as it's been here lately, I'm going to actually be bottling animal stuff. Actually, it's Monster Grizzbait today as we talk. So there will be a little bit of background noise. I apologize if I'm not in the woods or up at the shooting range or in bed. I'm pretty much bottling right now. So my life's pretty busy. It's okay. It's the time of the year it is. So it's no big deal. I want to talk a little bit on two subjects tonight. One of them is sour grapes. What does it mean? We've all heard that phrase. Are we sucking on sour grapes? And then I want to talk, before I get into that, I want to talk, Glenn Beck is kind of confusing to me. I listened to him on podcast. There's been a few things he said that aren't jiving with me. And I want to just discuss them just so everybody can kind of understand, because you're going to hear a lot of this coming up. Before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. It's just one of those companies, if you ever start dealing with them, you're always going to want to deal with them. They take your order. They have good prices. They get your stuff right out. They're just honest, down-to-earth people. Really, really good people. I trust them to ship out all my products. Part of the reason I've been so busy is he's actually coming down, and we're going to get to spend a long weekend together, hopefully go out on the boat and play around with maybe a muscle car or two and just have a good time for a few days, and he's going to take back a boatload of supplies with him, and then I get to go out and play in the woods a little bit more. So looking forward to seeing him. And I wouldn't have him in my house, and I wouldn't do business with him if I didn't totally trust him. And if you're looking for a company that's got full trapping supplies, deer, hog, bear, catfish, fishing line, full predator line, copper trap tags, pretty much if you need it and you're an outdoorsman, they probably can get it. So Funky Trap Tags and Supplies is who I would recommend. Now, I've listened to Glenn Beck for years, and I don't always agree with Glenn Beck, because I don't think anybody should always agree with anybody else, but he finds some very interesting things, and he talks about different things, and he's got a pretty good track record for about the future. Now, he don't know when, but it's amazing how well he can see things coming sometimes. So I like listening to him, and they do a lot of fact-finding. They talk a lot about history, which I enjoy. And I've just listened to him for a long time. And I'm not mad at Glenn Beck, but some of the stuff lately, to be honest, has been kind of confusing. One of the things he's been saying, and I've heard him say this over and over again, and I know on a intellectual way what he's saying is true. That if you get caught up in a protest, you should stand there and let Antifa just beat you. Beat your children, beat your wife, beat yourself. You stand there and you take it, because that's what Martin Luther King did back in the 60s. He was trying to show the rest of the country what it was like to be abused by the police. And it worked. But the thing that confuses me about letting Antifa just beat on people to try to show to who? The country's pretty much split down the middle. We live basically in two different countries. You've got a very liberal one, and you've got a semi-conservative one and a hyper-conservative one. And I'm not sure those two will ever meet in the middle again. So the biggest thing, and you know, he didn't take callers like he used to, but I would love to ask him. I will follow your lead on this getting beat for the cameras when I see you and your family get beat for the cameras. See, I'm an old believer in real leadership. Anybody can talk about it. Martin Luther King did it. But today, we live in a radically different world, where no matter what happens the news is not going to show Antifa beating on people and them not fighting back. There's no narrative there. So what is the purpose? It's just one of those things that I've heard him say several times, and people have called and talked to him about it. And I can see on an intellectual way that you're trying to show the difference between the left and the right. Well, everybody that's on the left knows what the left is, and everybody that's on the right knows what the left is. So who in the world are you trying to show? And I think it just brings up a point about being a leader. You don't tell people to go take a beating unless you're there to take it yourself. See, real men that used to be real leaders back in the day, when you went to war, they were in the charge. Which is what we kind of need in this country now. If the government wants to go to war in a foreign land for some reason, the senators and the president and their children that are of age should be on the battlefield with everybody else. It'd knock a bunch of this silliness out about where we go. That's the way real men used to be that were leaders. That's not the way it's done anymore. And I think it's a shame. I know it would stop a lot of useless fighting in places that people can't even find on a map or know why we're there. But the other thing today that I was listening to that just blew my mind from him. Like I said, I enjoy Glenn Beck. I've never met the man. But I don't understand the reasoning of some of this stuff. Now, what he said today was, if Trump does pull off flipping the election because of all the fraud, which is very clear to anybody that's got two eyes and wants to look, the massive fraud that happened, if Trump can pull that off, and I don't know if he can. I'm not going to give up personally until he says that he can't, because I believe Trump is a fighter. But if Trump does pull that off, the way the news media is telling pretty much everybody in the country, that unless they're going to do their own research on anything, there is no fraud. The left thinks they've already won. President-elect Biden is coming up with putting all his czars in place, just like Obama. They're talking about all this craziness. There's all these celebrations in the street. They're watching CNN and MSNBC, and they're not knowing how dangerous it is for Biden with all of the fraud that's been out there. See, the trick of this is not that there's fraud. The trick is, are you going to be able to get judges to overthrow an election because of the fraud? Now, the votes that won Biden are not real, but some of them were. And to get a judge to go down in history to do that, that's a big ask. So just in about a month, Trump has got to come up with a plan of attack for the Supreme Court. And I don't know if there's enough time to do this. I really don't. I hope there is. There's plenty of proof it's fraud. Most people don't even know there's fraud. And if he does pull it off, Glenn Beck is saying, but aren't you worried that if Trump does get to stay in, the left is going to cause a civil war? And I heard him say that twice today to two different people. Now, I'm a veteran. I'm a combat veteran. The last person that ever wants to see any combat again is me. I think most people are going to be in shock because they don't really know what pain is. They don't really know what loss is. They don't really know what it's like to be that cold or that hot or that wet. They don't know what it's to be that hungry. They don't know what it's like to be that scared. The last thing I want to see is a civil war. But please tell me the difference of Muslim terrorists saying if you don't let them have their way, they're going to put bombs on their chest and walk into a school or a cafe. How come we have not given in to that? But we're going to give in to a bunch of people that will, and I want you to, if you've been somewhat plugged in to what's going on with all this fraud, you're going, well, surely everybody knows that. No, they don't. Because most media, including Fox, is fighting against the claim of fraud pretty hard. So people don't know that. But what'll happen is one day, country wakes up after Supreme Court gets involved. If Trump wins, now you're going to have all these liberals that had their whole life wrapped around 4 years of getting rid of Trump. The deep state trying to get rid of Trump. They've already thought they've won, and now they're going to think, because our media doesn't do their job and actually cover news, that somehow Trump now stole the election. And you know they're going to say that he got rid of the black vote and he did all this stuff because that's what the liberals do. And the liberals will go to the streets because that's what they do. That's what little mini terrorists always do. And they're going to burn, and they're going to pillage, and they're going to rape, and they're going to beat, and they're going to kill. So, kind of in the back of what Glenn's question is that worth letting Biden be president? Well, when I first heard that, I was like, what the? I mean, because if you don't have elections and you can't trust the Department of Justice or the FBI or the CIA, you know Congress is crooked, you know the Senate's crooked, you know the guy in the president's bought by China, and it doesn't do any good to vote because they're just going to keep stealing it. The only other option is lock and load. Unless you're going to submit. And out of the probably 70 plus million votes for Trump, I would say about half of those are not going to submit. So if the left wants to start a civil war because their media has lied to them, and they have no idea that there's anything that hadn't been debunked on the fraud, which is ridiculous, but that's the narrative. They go to the street and they start doing their normal thing. And they start coming out in the country, and somehow this is considered a civil war. Is that not better than what would happen when you get a bunch of Marxists in the federal government that are talking about the plans that they're talking now? Because what would a civil war be? It would probably be 10, 15 major cities rioting within their own streets, burning their own self out of their own homes and their own businesses. And at this point, if they want to burn New York City to the ground, I don't care. New York State would be better off without it. If they want to burn Chicago to the ground, I don't care. Illinois would probably be a great state again without Chicago. If Seattle wants to burn Seattle down, throwing a kid temper tantrum, I don't care. And if it did bleed over into the red places, it would be ugly, and I don't think it would last that long. So you'd have a few big cities, liberal cities, thinking that they're going to go commit civil war against the rest of the country. If you look at the map of counties, that's a suicide mission, but if they want to take it at this point, I don't care. That's their decision to be their stupidity. The other option is let Biden get in, where he's talking about crushing people with taxes. Because he's not using that term, but that's the reality of it. Bringing back all of these regulations. Opening the borders back up, and all illegals are now going to be American citizens. Packing the court. Working on the Great Reset that all them people in Europe have been trying to get done. And Kerry, which is going to be in his cabinet, is already promoting. But to pull that off, they're going to have to screw with the Second Amendment. So you're going to have probably 50 million Americans are going to be suffering from what the liberals are doing because they're trying to turn us into China. And then they're going to start talking about gun control. And they've already said that they're going to do that. No one should have a magazine more than, what, five rounds. They'll be illegal. Or if they don't come take them, you're going to have to pay a tax of $200 to $400, I believe, per weapon and paraphernalia. So I guess that's like if you have an AR-15 with a mag and it's $200, you're going to have to pay $400. Then you're going to have really high taxes on the ammo. And they're going to say they're not infringing on your Second Amendments. They're going to do all kind of things. But if that doesn't work and people don't want to turn their guns in, liberals that have power always want to push it. So that in there are going to try to do what they've always wanted to do and confiscate guns in America. Because we're an anomaly, people, in the rest of the world. The closest to us is probably Australia. Even though people think they don't have guns, they have a lot of guns there. So, if we rise up at that point, who are we going to be rising up against? See, it would be the government. That would be an actual civil war. And you're going to go, well, they've got the military. So, if there's 30 million patriots and 1.5 million military, most of those military guys are not going to fall in line with Biden or Kamala or whatever her name is. Because if you hadn't been in the military, and I had a friend text me about this. An oath you take when you go into the military is very serious. And I don't think a lot of people know exactly what it is or what it means. We do not give an oath to the United States of America. We do not give an oath to the Commander-in-Chief. We do not give an oath to those that are over us with higher rank in the military. We will defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, just because someone's out of the military, most guys I know that are veterans, they take that just as serious now as they did when they were wearing a uniform. And I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of the military, say it's half, that's going to go and start killing their own people. People are going to try to convince them to. But see, there's one thing about the military that most people also don't understand. If you're given an unlawful order, which is against the Constitution, you have no recourse of not following that order. So he wouldn't have the whole military. But it would not be a bunch of cities in the first scenario of if Trump wins and they start going nuts, the liberals. It's just going to be a bunch of cities that are going to try to strike out at surrounding areas. It would probably be a lot more like terrorism than it would be a, quote, civil war. The other option is you let the liberals keep poking and prodding and taking stuff away and canceling people raising taxes, screwing with gun laws, which a lot of people take very seriously. And then if you rise up, now it's not just the cities against the country. It's the country against the government. So worrying about, to me, if the liberals throw a hissy fit if Trump does pull this off, to actually, because I'm anybody with any common sense knows he won this election. If he does pull that off in court, I think that's a better option, personally, than the second option, which is going against the government. Because it's going to get a whole lot trickier at that point. And this may sound like I'm promoting civil war, and it is not. But I don't understand the reasoning of the way a lot of people are. A lot of people are like, well, he's won, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, he ain't won yet. A lot of Republicans are just basically saying, go and throw in the towel. Biden hadn't won yet. There's a lot of weird stuff in the Constitution about if neither one of them hits a certain electoral of 270, it goes to Congress. And the way it gets voted in there is one per state, and there's more Republican states than there are Democratic states. So the Democrats are going to try to stay out of that as far as they can. But letting a group of people that you know will cause damage if the country does the right thing, and you cower to that, tell me how that is not being a coward. Someone please tell me how that's not being a coward. More worried about what the left's going to do than doing the right thing. I can tell you that's not how a man thinks. And I don't know if Glenn has thought that all the way through or not. I don't know. But I'd rather have option one than option two. Because if truckers don't take the city's food, they're screwed. You destroy their water system, they're screwed. You don't let supplies in, city people are screwed. We don't need the cities anyway. That's what these arrogant peckerheads don't understand. America can get along just fine without New York and Chicago. Don't need them. And they're so fragile. Once they sit up and look down their nose at everybody else, it blows me away how ignorant they are of their real situation if things get ugly. But logic will prevail in the end, because real is real. And agendas at that point don't make any difference to anybody if they're not getting food and water and medicine. So I was just thinking, I don't understand why he said it, but it's just something that's on my mind, so I thought I'd talk about it. Now, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I tried my best to remember which one it was. And the term sour grapes came up. If you're like me, my age, you probably remember cartoons about this on Saturday morning. I can vividly remember a book that I had that had the red fox that was always trying to get the grapes. He couldn't jump high enough. He couldn't climb the tree to get them. And he got a bad attitude. And he just decided that those grapes were no good anyway. So they were sour grapes, even though they weren't. It's like an old-timey lesson that was being taught. And I'm not sure that lesson's being taught anymore. So what is sour grapes? I'm going to give one that's real simple that I think anybody can grasp to start with. You see somebody that is really muscular, like three times more muscular than just most people that you see. And whether you go to the gym or not, what is the first response that 90% of the people are going to give? Oh, he's on steroids. He's on gear. The reason he looks like that is because of drugs. Now, when you get to professional bodybuilding and some idiots, well, I'm not going to say that because anybody can do whatever they want with their body, but people that want to take steroids and they're not going to compete, it makes no sense to me, but whatever, knock yourself out. But a lot of people, because I've been in the last year, I've had about six people ask me, and one of them was a family member, if I'm taking steroids. No. I'm trying to be healthy as I get older, and I'm not sure that's the wisest thing. I don't know that much about them, so I ain't going to deal with them. And I wouldn't know where to get them if I had to. No. And I'm not even big. I'm just a little bit bigger than normal because normal is so not muscular anymore. To see somebody with traps, I guess, or big shoulders is an oddity, so people automatically go to steroids. Now, why is that such an easy example? Because almost anybody has heard someone say that in their lifetime. See, that's a form of sour grapes. There's a guy named Brian that's got neverstate.com, and he was doing a question and answer, and someone asked him if he took steroids. And I loved his answer. If I tell you that I'm not, you won't believe me. And if I tell you that I am, you'll think I'm taking more. So what's the purpose? I think that's about the way he said that. And he's a decently big dude, but he's not something that could ever walk on a bodybuilding stage by any stretch of the imagination. Not in an open class. But that's what people jump to. I've actually seen people at trapping conventions say that about people that lift weights. They don't know them. You ask them if they lift weights, and they go, yeah, I lift weights. But you can't look like that without steroids. See, that's a form of sour grapes. What that has basically done at that point is give that person an excuse of why they're not tracking the progress that they probably want to get. So it gives them comfort to say that someone else is on steroids. And it gives them a fallback system when it's not going right. Well, and if you're not gaining muscle, I can almost tell you it's because you're not eating to gain muscle. It's not if you work out or not. If you work out and you're decent at it and you work hard at it and you don't eat, you don't grow. But eating the way to grow muscle is not convenient, and most people don't want to do it. So it's easier to go, only way to look like that, because I don't, is he's on steroids. Now see, that's a simple one. How many times have you heard so-and-so always gets big deer? You know he's poaching. There's no way that he's not poaching getting those big deer. See, that's a form of sour grapes. I've got a friend in Memphis that kills really big deer. And as for years, and I've asked him questions about it. And his answer was so strange that we're not going to get into deer hunting on this, but his answer was so strange from what anything you've ever seen on an outdoor channel show, or the way most people or myself hunt, because I don't really go after bucks, I just go after does. So I'm not really trying to get big bucks, but I know a lot of people do. But I was more curious of how does he do this in an area, it's not like it's, you know, the genetic, you know, superpower of some of the Midwest places. It's Memphis, Tennessee. How does he do it? And he explained to me how he does it. And I guarantee you, if you were to see some of his deer heads or some of the pictures he sent me, almost immediately someone's going to go, he's poaching. Someone can't shoot that many big deer and not be poaching. Now, why would a man say that? Because you're not being successful, and you don't know what he's doing to be successful. And you can't believe that you don't know that he knows something that you don't know, or he's willing to work harder than you are, or he's working smarter than you are, which is the case after talking with him. And all the years of experience and learning from all the failures is the reason he kills bigger deer than you do. But you can't accept that. So you go to the easiest thing, which is sour grapes. Now, why is sour grapes so dangerous? It will kill your dreams, and it will destroy your ambition. If you're always the type of person that does sour grapes every time you see something, well, the only reason they got money is they inherited it. Well, I suggest you read a book called The Millionaire Next Door, and you'll find out that that's a very rare thing. Very rare. You'll find out the reason they're a millionaire is because they don't think nor act like you. And you just can't conceive that, so they had to inherit it. So you keep doing what you're doing, and you gave yourself basically permission through the sour grapes to not strive to be better. And that's a weak man's way to go through the world. It kills your dreams and it kills your ambition. In the trapping industry, I've had so many people even tell this to my face. You're probably a pretty good trapper, but you're a much better businessman. And most of the time, these are other guys in my industry. And I just agree with them. I'm not going to get an argument over it. But see, they're justifying where they're at in their business because they think that I've got some type of gift, which I don't. When they're watching Netflix and I'm studying business, I'm getting ahead of them. When I'm constantly trying new things and they're not, I'm getting ahead of them. When I probably work more hours than they did, especially at the beginning, I'm getting ahead of them. When I sacrificed 10 years of my life to not make money, to eventually make money, they weren't willing to do that. So they just assumed that it's some type of special gift of being a businessman. I haven't done anything special, except I learn all the time. I work as hard as I need to meet my goals. I was willing to sacrifice when most people weren't. And I was just willing to always try new things. But somehow, I've got this gift. That's not a gift. In the business world, it's just called work. It's just called work. I've heard many people talk about entrepreneurs. Well, they're just focused on the money. I don't want my life to be focused on the money. I hear millennials say this all the time. I don't want to be focused on the money. I want to change the world. Well, if you ain't got no money, you ain't changing shit. I hate to be the one to bust your bubble. Because you can't do nothing. You can't take care of yourself. But what is that really giving them permission to do? Do less. they say from a like a virtue signaling way, I don't want money to control my life. So I don't want to be an entrepreneur. I want to have freedom. Well, how does that work when you don't make enough money to actually be able to retire anytime soon? I don't know. I don't think it does. So when I hear millennials saying that, basically what they're saying is, I don't want to work hard enough to get what they've got, and I can do this and make myself feel good about it. Now, being an entrepreneur is not for everybody. It took me a long time to figure that out, because it just doesn't make sense to me not to be one. And it took a great wife till after like 10 years of trying to beat this in my head till I could see this. But if you want to have certain things in life, you got to be willing to do certain things for them. And the people that don't want to do the things that they need to do for them get resentment towards the people that have them, because they have something they don't, but they weren't willing to do the work or put in the energy or the creativity to get where they're at. So they try to find some way to just dismiss them as being greedy people. Let me give you a life lesson on an entrepreneur. When you start a business, you are focused on money because it takes money to live. And money, at the beginning, is needed. After a while, money, once you become comfortable in whatever you're doing financially, money is not the goal. Money is like a scorecard. Am I gaining ground or am I losing ground? Am I gaining customers or am I losing customers? Different things like that. What an entrepreneur, a mature entrepreneur, ends up worried about is time. So he looks at time different than a non-entrepreneur does. Very different. They get way more proficient in the use of their time, and they quit doing things that aren't productive. That doesn't mean they don't go have fun, but on a day-to-day basis, they keep whittling away at the inefficiency to be more efficient so they have more time. Time is what drives an entrepreneur, not the money, for the most part. I'm sure there's some people that do focus only on the money. Here's another one to think about sour grapes. And if I'm hitting close to home with you, don't get mad at me. Just think about, I can change this. You don't have to think the grapes are sour. Because the red fox that couldn't jump up and get the grapes, those are probably the sweetest grapes he would have ever tasted. But because he couldn't figure it out, he just found a way to diminish them. How many times as men have we seen people, and this can be true or not true, where somebody that is married goes out of their way to make sure that they have a happy marriage? They're not going through everything just being super selfish, which is what a man should do. And then the other men that are usually more selfish on certain aspects of the marriage, they say that guy's whooped because he spends more time with family than he does going out getting drunk or whatever's going on. So he's whooped. She's got you, she's got you licked. See, the truth is, when someone sees someone, a man and a woman, that are married and they have a great relationship, that takes a lot of work, continuous work. You're never completed with that work because things change. You're always striving to be less selfish for yourself and do more for the other. And to someone that is more selfish and may not have as good of a marriage, they automatically think that someone is whooped. And that may or may not be the case. I know people that are whooped. They're basically yes man in a marriage. They've given up their man card. They've neutered themselves. They just do whatever the wife says, like she's their mom. And I'm not sure that's very healthy, because I don't know any woman over time that's going to appreciate that. But that does happen, right? We've seen it. That's not the time to whoop on the top one whooped I'm talking about. But people that actually put their family first, it's confusing to people that don't. And a lot of times the people that don't have that type of relationship, so they don't understand it. And they try to dismiss it by saying they're whooped and they would never do that. And it gives them a better feeling about their situation that they're in. That is sour grapes. Because I can promise you, the right woman with a great relationship, well, neither one of them is trying to take advantage of the other, and both being unselfish, it's the most amazing relationship you'll ever have. So just think about these things a little bit. When you see somebody, is your first response to try to cut them down? Because I can tell you that is not what real men do. Real men try to build up other people. When people talk about alpha males being toxic, that's because they're not talking about real alpha males. A real alpha male brings people up. They don't put people down. And real men do not put everybody down around them. They try to bring them up. And that's a mentality that's lost today. Because no one wants to. Because it's kind of it's kind of scary sometimes, because you have to realize you're probably not the great person that you think that you are. Which none of us are perfect. So just think about these things a little bit. And when you catch yourself looking at somebody and you put them down because they're working their ass off in their business, are you really putting them down because of them? Or are you trying to justify yourself? If you see somebody that's in good shape and you put them down, are you putting them down for what? Or are you trying to justify the reason that you're not? If you don't have enough money and you see people that are always striving to get to the point that you want to be and you're not there, and you're always finding ways to cut them, sour grapes. And to me, that's a sad place to live. Because you're killing your dreams and you're destroying your own ambition from the inside. And if you have children, is that the example that you want to leave them? That it's as long as you can find a way to put somebody else down that justifies where you're at? I doubt any man would say yes to that. But is that the example that you're giving? All right, guys. I will talk to y'all next week. Stay away from sour grapes, boys. It's not good for you.